God is more than enough. For whatever we're facing, for whatever's going on in the world, He is more than enough. I'm not going to say a whole lot about fathers right now because that's kind of the message. So, but I want you to understand, He is a good Father. You know, when Jesus was talking about gifts and things of that nature, He said, you know, how is it you being evil fathers know to give good things to your children? How much more do you think your Heavenly Father, who is a good Father, will do for His children? Listen, we all go through the same stuff in life. Whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian, the poop truck backs up to your front porch every now and then too. It's the only way to explain it. It backs up to everybody's porch, and it empties the whole truck out, and you've just got to get out and get through it. But I'm going to tell you right now, I would so much rather go through it with a good Heavenly Father than without Him. Amen? Amen. Let's bless the tithe and offering this morning. Hallelujah. Father God in heaven, we thank You and praise You that You are our Father. You are a good Father, and You know to give good gifts to Your children. And now, Father, we present to You today our tithe and our offering. I bless it, Lord, in the name of Jesus, and I thank You and praise You that Your promises are true. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated for a moment. You know, the copiers are getting better and better these days. She photocopied a little sticky on there, and I'm trying to peel it off. And it's not coming off. You get frustrated. Hallelujah. Well, you know, for every father, I can only speak as a father, not as a mother, for obvious reasons. One of the things that I want is for my children to grow up into a world better than what I had, okay? And I mean the whole world, not just their situation or whatever. I want everything to be better. And we also have to know that for that to happen, we have to reach out beyond our four walls. We have to go beyond the immediate effects of that didn't affect me, so we're not worried about it. Well, ultimately, it will affect our children. I'm all for renewable energy sources. I'm all for recycling things. You know, I forget, a friend of mine actually told me, he said, the only way you can make money in recycling is if you're a government entity. You want to take a guess at what his business is? But anyhow, so we decided this year, something came up, and it was brought up, and Angela had said something. I said, you know, that's kind of funny that you'd bring that up, because God's been moving on my heart to do something about that. But when people in the area got together to do something, I found out just as they were leaving. But there's still things we can continue to do. So what we've done, and you can read about this in this little article, Men, for those of you that know, there was a huge wildfire out west that devastated many farms. Miles upon miles of fence, more fence than you could even wrap your mind around. Cattle were caught, burned alive in the fields. Crops were destroyed. The animals that did make it, they no longer had hay to feed them, so back spring break time, farmers locally started taking some extra hay they had out and got some things out there. But there's still some relief going on, some organizations that are working to help this. So it was brought up at a meeting one time that maybe we should look into it. And I said, well, God's already been moving on us to do this. And so we have sent $400 in the name of all the fathers here because, well, let me grab my glasses and I will read this to you. There's $1 million wildlife, wildfire relief. It says, the Howard G. Buffett Foundation has generously agreed to match dollar for dollar all donations to the Drovers and Farm Journal Foundation $1 million Wildfire Relief Challenge. All donations will go directly to those impacted by the fire. So this is going out, and you can sit here and say, well, those farmers, they got all this. Listen, you don't know how many millions of dollars it costs the farm. It costs a lot of money to bring a loaf of bread to the table, ultimately. Okay? We are helping because what affects those farmers will affect us. We can sit here and say, well, it doesn't affect me. Well, tell me that the next time you go to the store and you have to pay $4 or $5 a gallon for milk. Okay, we are blessed in Ohio that we don't have to pay that. There are areas that's the norm. That's not just the quick stop store price. That is the norm price. We have been very blessed in Central Ohio particularly. But so we've donated this money in the name of all the fathers as the gift into our children. Because while it may not ultimately affect me, it could have an impact on my sons, on my grandchildren. Okay? And so that is where we sent the money this year for all of you gentlemen in here. So if you would come up, I know you don't want to. All right, guys, come on. Come on down. You're the next. I'm going to pray for you too. So you, if you're a father, if you're filling the role of a father, come on up. Yeah. You can just line up. She'll bring them down. You know, it really is a great thing. If you guys turn around and face the. I think when we started this church, we had one grandfather and maybe a couple fathers. That was it. And now I want you to look up through here. Our grandfather is now a great-grandfather with a great-grandson. We have grandfathers. Pat, are you a great-grandfather? Great. Greats. Okay. Wow. So we've got we got the gamut. We've got young fathers. You know, I'm going to hit this in the message, but right now there is something going on in the world that they're to take away our role as fathers. Well, fathers need to be more sissified. Yeah, I don't think so. If God wanted men to be sissies, he wouldn't have given us facial hair. He wouldn't have made us hairy. Wouldn't have made us rough and tough. He would have made us sissies. If y'all have been paying attention to trends and styles, I know. If you see any of these men in a romper, y'all know what I'm talking about. It's a new trend. Rompers for men. I'm going to make fun of you until you cry. I'm just saying. I'm giving you heads up right now. They were not made for men. Neither are the lace shorts. Yeah. They're shorts with lace. They're made out of lace. And your underwear show. Yeah, yeah. It's not cool, guys. We're not. I'm getting concerned, Phil and Rob are talking. But yeah. But you see, this is what the world wants our fathers and our men to be. And that is not what it is. God did not make men like that. He made us rough and tough. He made us different. I do have a feminine side. She's standing right there. Okay? That's my feminine side. I didn't say that I'm not sensitive to my children, to her. I said, that's my feminine side. Okay? But God has appointed each and every one of you in a role in people's lives out here and and out there as a father, as a grandfather. And he expects us to be that example of God, of what a father's supposed to be. So as a father and as a spiritual leader in his God's church, I challenge you to be that. You're going to make mistakes in that role, especially you young fathers, you got little ones. You're going to make so many mistakes, you're going to look back and say, man, why isn't my kid totally screwed up? Because of the grace of God in your life. That is why. Because I look at mine, although I look at mine sometimes and I think, oh boy, did I screw up. No, I'm not going to bash my boys too much. They're good. But that's our role in life, is to raise our children. Those of you in grandfather roles, you've got a special role to speak into those children's lives. I didn't get to know mine. Make sure yours do. So I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to bless you. And as you go out here, you know, like I said, this is a token. What we leave behind is forever. Our names will be lost to history. It's just some guy, he's not even a blip on the map of time. But our children's children, and their children, you may have a direct impact into that person's life because of the stand you take today to be a godly man. Always remember that. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord. As a father, I thank you for the privilege of being a father. And now, Lord, I bless each and every one of these men right now in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you and praise you, Lord God, that you're causing that spirit of war to rise up to stand in their lives right now for their children, for their grandchildren, for their families. In Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you and praise you that a spirit of righteousness is rising up in them right now to be the godly leader that you've called them to be. I bless them and I thank you for them, Lord, right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Gentlemen, thank you very much. And you may be seated. Yes. All right. So, and at this point, the junior church is dismissed. Well, for those of you that ever complained in the winter that it was too cold, welcome to summer. Welcome to pop thunderstorms and 90% humidity. Where was I at? I was at the VA Monday. Went in for my appointment at 8 o'clock. And while I was in there, it had dumped rain. It had showered. And it was already 85 degrees at 8 o'clock over there. And when I walked outside, it took me right back to Okinawa. It was just like the humidity hit me and took my breath. That's how much it had happened. Before I get going today, I'm going to say something. And it's more of an apology. Last week, I said something that was stupid and insensitive. Don't think about it. If it didn't hit you, I thank you. But if it did, please forgive me. The Holy Spirit convicted me. And I'm going to tell you, I had to ask the Holy Spirit for peace to make it to today. And I got it, but I ask you to forgive me. What I said was crude and insensitive to people. Like I said, I'm not going to share what I said because it's not worth the repeating. But if you heard it and you caught it, please forgive me. Most of you, I pray, it just went over your heads. But that is not my heart. So, having said that is done. We'll move forward.
I love him too.
No, Praise God. Today, as I said, we're going to talk about fathers. I'm going to share some things from my heart and some things about what the Bible, well, a few things. I got one scripture to share with you this morning. As I shared just a few minutes ago, the world's idea of what a man is supposed to be is changing, and it's not in a good way. The church has, and a lot of churches, in my opinion, has an archaic role as to what a man is supposed to be. Some churches are, man, we're just to be brutes. We're to be cavemen. No, we're not. Because one of the greatest examples of what a godly man is, or what a man's supposed to be as a father, was given in the parable of the prodigal son. He gave his son what he asked for, and you need to understand, they could legally do that. But this father's heart was broken so much that he looked for that son to return every day. But he didn't neglect the family he had, but he looked, and when he saw the boy return, he didn't step back, roll back, and say, well, boy, I told you you'd come back to your senses one of these days. Well, it's about time. Now, the Bible says that he took off running across the way. You need to understand, he was on the top of his house looking at the horizon. And what I find phenomenal is he recognized the silhouette. And he knew that was his son. He just knew it. And he took off running. Now, Jesus is telling this story from God being that father and us being the prodigal son. But he's also painting a picture, and I'm going to make it through this, of what a father should be. He continued to run his business. He continued to care for his home, but his heart never left. He knew his son had to go out. He knew he had to go. And he says he forgot everything right at that moment and ran and grabbed his boy. Now you got to understand, this son, you know, anybody that's ever been on a pig farm, you know, I know a couple of you raised hogs. Clint back there, he worked for Horde Hog Farms over in over by Bucyrus. And I used to work building hog farms, and I was the only contractor they could find for a while that would go onto an occupied hog farm and work. Because I could be there, you could ask my wife. She would make me strip down outside the house in my skivvies in town, and leave my clothes outside and go straight to the shower. Do not pass go. Do not say hi. Go wash. Because the smell of the manure would get in my hair, in my skin, every aspect. It was in my tools for several years after I had quit working on them. It was that bad. This boy had been sleeping with the pigs. He would fight them for food. What do you think he smelled like, even if he had showered 1,000 times? It was ingrained in his skin. It was something that always impressed me about Bob and Karen when they had hogs. You could go in their house and never smell it because they didn't bring that mess into their house. I knew other hog farmers, you went to their house, it smelled like you were out in the sow barn because they didn't, they just tracked it right in and out. That's not for me, thank you. But they were particular about that. You don't bring that into the house. So this boy stunk, but it didn't stop his father. See, the world, the religious world teaches us fathers that we got to be cold and distant, and we got to push that away. When that boy came, you need to understand, he smelled of his sin. And Jesus is teaching us that God the Father embraced us smelling and reeking of our sin. Now the boy, he had already made up in his mind that I'm going to go to my father. My father's servants eat better than I do. I'm going to tell my father, I'm not worthy to be your son any longer. I will become a servant. In other words, you will disown me. I know people who have disowned their children. You embarrassed me. No, you embarrass you. I don't care what my children do. I would never disown them. But there are people I know who have done this. And I think they're the most ridiculous human beings on the planet. Doesn't mean you have to agree with what happened. They are still your child. God never disowned us. So where do we get off thinking? Well, I'm going to disown you because you got pregnant out of wedlock. Whoop-de-ding-dong. Can I tell you something? Sometimes good things happen out of that. Can I get my hand up any higher? Sometimes it does work out. So who are we to say, well, that was not God's plan? Well, he said, according to Jeremiah, he knew me in her womb. So if he knew me, he knew what I was going to become. So I was blessed in that union. And so this father, he ran to the son, smelling of his sin, and he grabbed him and he wept and said, my son has come home. And the son starts into his spiel, Father, I am unworthy. He wouldn't hear it. He was not going to allow his son to disown himself. Instead, he called for the servants and he said, you bring him my, he gave him his ring, and you bring him shoes, and you bring him change of clothing. Get him cleaned up and go kill the fatted calf. Now, if you need to understand what a fatted calf is, Bob and Karen were raising a steer a couple years ago. He had a goal. What was the steer's name? Gabriel. Yeah, he was a big boy. They were going for a 3,000-pound steer. That is, you could see, he dwarfed some of the bulls. And they got some big bulls in their lots. This, you could see him standing out just like, holy moly. He was a fatted calf. That's what this thing was. It's one they had been feeding grain and keeping him away from everything for a purpose. And when this son came home, the father ordered that calf to be slaughtered. This was that special occasion. This was the special occasion they were feeding him out for. You know, we're going to save that for a special occasion. Oh no, those are china just for a special occasion. You get what I'm saying? This was that occasion. Created jealousy in the other one, which we won't go down that road, because that's a whole other message. But the love that this father had towards his son, that's what being a father is about. I know many of you in here, you may have raised children that weren't your own. Well, what you've learned to become is Abba. That's where we get the word daddy. You aren't their biological, but you became Abba. God became Abba. He becomes our daddy. Daddy's the one you cry for. Today, women think they can be daddy. I'm going to have this child without a father. Go to the sperm bank, get some sperm. Make me pregnant. I'm sorry, ladies. Your child will be unbalanced. It takes a male and a female to do this. Yeah, they can do it in a petri dish. Yeah, I know they can do it. That's just the science of it. To raise a properly balanced child, and I know some of you had, you may have had to raise your children without a father. Hopefully, I pray to God that God put a father figure in their life. Because it takes both to balance. And what we see when a father is, and I've seen boys and girls who were raised in a house with both, but they leaned, but one was a little more away from them. What you tend to have is the unbalanced children. Our jobs as fathers is to love our children, to defend our children. If somebody has an accusation against my children, they had better come with facts, not this is what I heard. Because you can ask my boys. I've gone to them. I said, this is what I'm hearing. Did you do this? And if they tell me no, I believe them. And they know what would happen if they lied to me. Hell will fall. It will come down on that spot they are standing in. And I will be the rainmaker. Because they violated my trust. But I will bring the rain to somebody else for going after them. That's the way God our Father is. See, when he had to look down and see all of his children, we are his children, all of us, red, yellow, black, and white, and even those that are multicolored now. We got all kinds of... You've heard me talk about going to Walmart on Friday nights. That's my least favorite place in the world to be. They're God's children too. And when he looked down, he said, there's a price that's got to be paid. You know what he did? He took it upon himself. Because you need to understand something. We preach that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are all one. And if they are one, truly one, not just this weird thing we're making up, you need to understand that the pain Jesus felt, the Father felt. The Holy Spirit felt the pain. They felt the burden of the sin that was taken. And God the Father took that upon himself so that we could be free of that. I want you to understand today, men, honestly, I will make fun of you if you come in wearing a romper. I promise you that. Or the lacy shorts. But if you want, I've had people try to make fun of me because I wear shorts. I'm going to tell you right now, it's just, from up here, it's just one of those things I can't cross right yet. Short pants and not wearing them don't make you more of a man than a guy who wears them. That's all there is to it. You don't want to wear shorts? That's your call. I like shorts. I love shorts. I wish it was short season year round. But I'm not one of those guys who's going to wear shorts and flip-flops in the wintertime and a winter coat. That's the definition of insanity. What you wear doesn't make you a man. How you wear your hair, what jewelry you wear, whether you got pierced ears or non-pierced, does not matter. None of that matters to you being a man or, better yet, a father. None of it. What makes you a man is how you treat people. Anybody can be a rude jackass. For those of you who just got religious, it's in the Bible many times. Anybody can be that. Anybody can be rude, can't they? And honestly, you don't even have to be saved to be a good person. Being saved does not make you a good person. Because most of the scoundrels I've met have done it in the name of God. Think about that for a moment. But that's still not excusing people who are using that as their excuse for not giving God their life. From receiving it. Gandhi said, I love your Christ. I don't like your Christians. Well, you know, Gandhi, you were a good man, but you refused to accept what Jesus. That's just what happens when religion creeps in, folks. I've told you ladies before, it doesn't make you any more holier that you've got your hair cranked up in a bun. You know, that's instant facelift, you know that, right? You just keep cranking that thing and it keeps pulling your face back. It doesn't make you any more holier that your dress is up to here and down to here because your lust could be up to here. Doesn't do anything. Oh, I don't wear makeup. Well, good for you. That's your call. I personally like it. I'm like Lester Summerall. Somebody asked him one time, says, are you against lipstick? And he replied, not as much as I'd like to be. If you want long hair, wear long hair. I just can't handle it anymore. I swore up and down when I got in the Marine Corps, I was growing my hair out long. Y'all saw it at its longest a couple years ago. That was the longest I could do it. How long ago was it? Five years ago. Wow. Yeah, that was about 5 years ago. Yeah. Yeah, because my hair, well, Brooke and Clint, I married them with long hair, and I look back and think, ew. My boys have their theory as to why I let it grow out, which is wrong. I know why I did. Something else happened during that. But that did not define me as a man. My short haircut does not define me as a man. Standing up for what I believe in defines me as a man. Standing up for others defines me as a man. Standing up for those who cannot defines me as a man. Loving my children, whether I like what they did or not. And you can ask them all. They've all crossed the line somewhere. But I would hope that they could all say they never felt that I disowned them. So fathers, this is the role we have. This is a role that is being attacked by the world, by loudmouths on TV who have their own view. Yes, that was a slight. They want you to think that just because they can get loud with their mouths that they are right, and they are not right. Many years ago, I taught a message because I can shout. If people want to get loud, I can get loud. You can ask my wife. One thing God did give me was a pretty good set of lungs. And the Marine Corps taught me how to use my diaphragm instead of my throat for volume. But many years ago, I taught a message because something started stirring in me. I started to remember this punk rock group that did this, and they were Christian, by the way, did a song called Shout. Shout louder. We're not going to shout louder than the world by getting out on TV and yelling at them. We're going to shout louder than the world by the way we serve. That's how we shout. Trust me, everything in my body wants to just jump right out there and get my own TV show and shout. But that's not the way God wants us to do it. Nowhere did he ever say. That's why I taught last week about shaking the dust off. Shake it off if they reject you. Don't keep holding on to that. Well, they rejected me. So what? They rejected Jesus. That's who they rejected. They rejected the Messiah, not a representative. We let that stuff go, gentlemen. Fathers, who cares what the world thinks about how you're raising your children? Raise your children in the admonitions of the Lord. The Bible tells us to train up our children in the way they should go. I'm going to tell you, most of the messages I've ever heard of when people start going down that, the very next one is spare the rod and spoil the child. Why are we so enthralled with beating our children? Did I spank my children growing up? Yes. Well, I also realized spanking didn't work for all scenarios. And certain children, it definitely was not having the effect it needed. When they turned around and said, that didn't hurt. And I thought I was about to launch them through the wall. That didn't work. So what do? We beat them harder. That's child abuse now. I've seen that firsthand. It doesn't work. You don't drive out rebellion with a stick all the time. Thank God he doesn't come down and just start wailing on us with clubs. If you train your children when they're little, smack their hand when they reach for the stove. Well, I don't want to hurt my children. So you'd rather they have third-degree burns on the palm of their hand. Is that what you want? The smack on the hand stings for just a few moments. The burn. I had a third-degree burn right here in my hand from a bottle rocket that was about that big around. Evidently, those fuses were shorter than I thought. It took the lighter 70 feet away to the other end of the trailer. And it burned for a couple of days. It hurt that bad. My little brother, when he was, I want to say two or three, fell. We had an old, drafty old home we lived in. And we had a kerosene heater. He would not quit running. And he kept running and tripping and twice fell hands first on top of it. It was a little short one. Burned the palms of his hands twice. Smacking the backside is a lot less painful for everybody involved than all those trips to the doctor. You know, today, you show up the second time, they're investigating you. You take your child to the hospital now, something happens. You know one of the first things they ask them? Do you feel safe in your home? Now, yeah. Now my boys, they started joking with us after they found out about that. Jesse's like, I don't feel safe. But he was kidding. But today there is an attack on the father figure. Men, you need to be in touch with your feelings. Listen, I agree with some of that. And as a father, I can tell you, sometimes we don't need all of our feelings out there. Sometimes we do have to hold them. But I'm going to tell you right now, the one thing we should never hold back is our love. Ever. Our children should never feel like we're against them. Listen, I don't care what they just, if they just wrecked your favorite truck, it's a piece of stinking steel. I'm so sick of all the people that worship their vehicles and their homes. Who gives a good unholy rip about your truck? It's what I pay insurance for. Oh, I don't want that insurance to go up. Wham! You'd rather destroy your child over paying $100 extra a year. And I don't know what it would go up. When Jesse wrecked his truck, well, I thought, oh boy, here goes the insurance. It didn't really go up. And I was so glad to find out, because both of my boys were in the truck. And so thrilled to hear that because I had taught my boys to think and hopefully tried to teach them to be good drivers, because of his driving, he kept the truck from rolling over a hill. Which, by the way, God is just. The insurance company took it to arbitration, and the arbitrator said, yeah, your guy was at fault. And they reimbursed us his deductible. So just that much more justification on it. But folks, we cannot sit back and say, well, you know what, we're just going to surrender our man cards. Nah. My man card is just like my gun. You can have it when you can pry it from my cold, dead fingers. That's all there is to it. You can think what you want. I'm a man and God made me a man. There's such a move going on. Listen, I want every last one of you to be an individual. Be who God created you to be. Do dress. Be how you want to be. Don't be my mini-me, which in most of your cases, I'm the mini-me. I want you to be who God created you to be. You don't have to like the things I like because I like them. You don't have to agree with me that steak is good. Actually, steak is awesome. You know what I'm having afterwards? The grill is ready to rock. Be who God created you to be. God made you an individual person. He didn't make you in my image. He made you in His. And for us to sit here and think, well, God is just this. He's got these little curly sideburns that come down underneath a funny little hat. He wears a black robe. Oh, give me a Pentecostal break. Oh, he's clean shaven, keeps his hair cut. No, and I'm going to be honest with you, folks. The vision God showed me, and this is why I grew my hair out. God had long hair. God was buff. I haven't been able to accomplish that. God was a man's man. He's somebody you'd feel comfortable with. Somebody you'd feel safe with. Even as another man, you're like, dude, that's the guy I want to be with. In a fight, I'm his wingman. Or actually, he's mine. He's going to get my butt out of trouble. But yet the same vision, but the same parable, Jesus taught us that God was sensitive. That his child needed love over scolding. But I know, listen, I'm going to tell you, I know the generation before me and the generation before that and probably on back, none of that existed. In my opinion, it's because the church was failing to do its job teaching who God was. We were more interested in being self-righteous. Because all the people that I've known that have disowned their children, either out of wedlock or doing things that embarrassed them, they were all elders in the church. They held positions in a church. In my opinion, they disgraced themselves and they disgraced God. Because that was not what God is about. God's about love. He's about embracing your children. Listen, my children do all kinds. And I had to tell Joshua yesterday because I was telling him some things about, you know, some things that I thought he should do. And then the Holy Spirit just started saying, hey, reel this back a little bit. You're kind of pushing. And I told him, I said, you know, I heard on the radio the other day, I'm not smarter than you. I've just done more stupid things. And I'm just trying to help you not do the same stupid things I've done. You know, that's the Holy Spirit. That's being sensitive. I don't ever want to push my children away because I'm saying, well, you know, you ought to do it this way. Well, you know what? They have their reasons for why they did it that way. Maybe they knew something I didn't. And not every situation is the same. And maybe what I said would work. I don't know. I'm just saying that's the sensitivity we need to be as fathers to our children, to know, okay, this doesn't work with this child. Words of encouragement work good. Tap on the backside works good with this one. Words, correction work really well with this one. Not saying that you just back off. Listen, when they're little, the spanking, the light taps on the backside usually get through. The problem is when people try to correct 16 and 17-year-olds. I heard somebody say the other day, I ought to just spank you. Your child is 16. Seriously? By the way, I was 17 when I got my last one. And I just stood there and said, "Are you serious?" It didn't even hurt. I thought you'd have got that when I was 13 when I turned around and laughed. Which that got me a few more from Dad. And I still had to go clean the mashed potatoes off the kitchen cabinets. Well, they had a guy living with us, and he was supposed to help, and we got in a food fight. What can I say? He was on my turf. Defend my honor. But folks, I don't tell you the stuff about my life to make a little... I could have had a lot worse childhood. Okay, I know looking in, and this is where sensitivity comes in as a believer. I know what my parents didn't have. They had awful lives. Multiple, 14 children. How on God's green earth do you give each child the attention you need, especially when you're dying? Okay? How do you give them the attention to things they need when you can't support them? How can you give your children the love they need when you're an alcoholic? You can't. So they're out. They only knew one way. My mom married at 16 to get out because her father couldn't love her. And he even threatened to rape her. And that's why she left. You want to know why? I say stay away from the alcohol, because it took a good man and it perverted him. It's not worth it. I'd love to have got to know him. But like I've said, the last time we spoke, I was standing there looking him in the eye, and he thought that my little sister was me. She looked a lot like me at that age. And then the next time I was his pallbearer, because he was untrustworthy. He was not a good father. And by the time my grandpa Waddell found Jesus, he had lived such a horrible life that his body couldn't handle it. And he died. He didn't have time to make right. I'm looking around. You are still alive. If you've got things to make right, make them right. If you're still raising your children, be the better influence. Make the change now. You have the power of the Holy Spirit within you to start doing things right. Change. People will see it. You know, I mean, Pat's ex-wife saw it. She looked at him and said, "What's different about you?" He said, "I don't hate you anymore." And I use him as an example because he's my friend, and he's changed. He changed inside, and it came out. I know others of you, you've told me, "Boy, I hated this person." Let go of the hate, and you'll see the change. They'll see the change. Trust me, when people know you hate them, some of them, they thrive on it, just so you know. When they find your button, they will keep pushing it. Quit letting them push it. So, the scripture I was actually going to give you this morning was Malachi 1:6. God is actually challenging Israel to honor him. He said, "As a son honors a father." Gentlemen, we honor our Heavenly Father, and ladies too, by being the best examples of Him that we can possibly be. It will be filtered through us. You need to understand that. Don't look in the Old Testament and say, "Well, I want to be this." I don't want to be like anybody in this. This is going to hit you hard. There's only one person out of 66 books I want to be like. and they crucified him. I don't want to be like David. I don't want to be like Moses. Definitely don't want to be like Adam. I'd like to probably have his physique. He was perfect. You know, he really didn't have to think about, oh, you know, I'm not, stay away from that. It'll go right to my hips. Nothing goes to my hips. It all stops right here at the belly. What was I heard last night? He said, my waist is making a rain gutter for my legs. I was like, oh, yeah, it was on MASH. Yeah, I know all about that. Making a shelter for my kneecaps. I don't want to live according to the law. We can't live according to the law. In the New Testament, the early church tried to do some things different. But what we ended up doing was coming right back full circle into law and legalism. We skipped grace. Grace is something you live in constantly. It's not just saved. And then, well, you know, no, we can overcome. That's where we honor God, by overcoming things. Sit down with your children. Talk to them. Tell them, hey, I know I'm not perfect. I've overcome a lot and I've changed a lot. You may not have seen it. But I think I've changed. And I know since starting this church, I've changed a lot. Because like I said, when I started the church, there was a lot of things I was on board with, some of the people that I got hooked up with, and then God started showing me, how do you feel? I feel used. That's not how you're supposed to feel. So I think I've changed a lot. Hopefully to be more of an image of God. I don't care what you think about what I wear. I don't care what people think. Like I said, for me, the shorts up here is me. It's not because God didn't say I couldn't. Okay? Sometimes I do think about, well, I really don't want to push people out. I want them to come in. They're not going to judge you. They're not going to judge the church by you. They're going to judge the church by me. Now, the hilarious part is when they meet me out when I'm working. I don't look like I do. I don't smell like I do. If you didn't hear that, Judy said, thank you. I'm going to tell you right now, the other day, it was bad. Me and Jesse, we were sweating like you wouldn't believe. It was hot while you were out in it. But God wants us to be like him, but filtered through the personality he gave us. Yeah, there's things we reel in and we control. You can have a voice. You can be somebody known for speaking your mind, but maybe filter it through, should I speak it at this moment? Or should I just listen? Sometimes it's just listen. And sometimes, you know, the other day, I'll end with this. I've shared before with you, I have a family member on Facebook who is an atheist, attacks religion all the time. And he posted a meme that, I don't know this particular one, I just felt like replying to, because he had a lot of people liking it, and none of them were Christians. And I put on there, please know that as a Christian, I pray to my God. I send money and supplies to those in need. And I have absolutely no problem with kicking butt when it needs to be. He liked it. And he said, I believe you, Art. Because I want him to see a Christian who doesn't just say, oh, I'm going to change. Please pray. Listen, no, when you ask me to pray, I pray, and I don't just pray, Lord, you know, bless them and leave it. Lord God, kick some butt. They need you. No, when you ask for prayer, you're getting prayer. You're not getting some, num, 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 you know. No, I don't pray from a book. When I pray, I do pray when I do the weddings. I do pray from what's written down now so that I can stay focused. Because I'll be honest with you, I keep marrying children that I watched grow up. And I'm not their father. Well, yeah, in this case I was the father. But, you know, I've watched Morgan and Michelle grow up. That gets a little to you. So if it's not written down, I'm not making it. So I got to have something, things written down. But when we pray here, it's not written down. It's not canned. Because the God I know, he's a mighty man of war. He's ready to fight when he has to. But he would so much rather enjoy your presence and party with you. All right, I said I'd end, and I will keep my word. Let's stand. I ain't going to lie, that's weighing heavy on my mind. And listen, I know some of you out here too may have strained relationships with your children. Pray. Ask God if there's something you can do to help this out. Sometimes he'll show you just what to do. Sometimes he says, I already told you what to do. By the way, the word honor there, it means to hold in reverence. As we honor our fathers and our mothers, you know, it's really sad that it actually had to come down as a presidential decree. And be honest with you, I got a feeling Hallmark had as much to do with some of this stuff. Well, I know Hallmark got on Mother's Day. They capitalized on it for a fact because the woman who pushed for it, she just wanted to honor her mother. People didn't know how great of a woman that her mother was. You know, seriously, if we stop and we think, okay, you know, well, I didn't feel my dad loved me. Well, you know, sometimes they were taught not to. I've shared with you, my parents were taught from the church not to hug their children because you might molest them. Come here, I'm going to smack the stupid right out of you. I love to hug my children. So, you know, and that came from the church. It's like, no wonder we're stupid. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. We're more worried about witch hunts than we are what actually matters. Because during that time, we were taught not to hug our children. We were more worried about chasing down the devil salute. Which, if you've been paying attention to the news, Gene Simmons and Ronnie James Dio's widow are arguing over who created it, and they said it had nothing to do with the devil. Gene says it was just something stupid I did. He said, I still think it's stupid, but he said it caught on. We were more worried about that, or oh, by the way, messages that preach Queen, if you play which one plays, some of us smoke marijuana. Really? I bet you I can play a few records backwards and they'll say the same thing. That's all they say. I'm sorry, that's all that they say. I've played, can't tell you how many records backwards. All I hear is, let's try to be more like God, shall we? He didn't go out for looking for witches. Let's be the example of Christ and we'll see the world turn. We'll see them turn. That's the great revival. It's not going to be us rolling in the floor laughing. It's going to be true felt love. And I'm challenging you men, even if you're not a father, be the example. When you want to rip somebody's head off, and I'm looking around at all of you men, and you women, I know some of you scare me a little, especially those of you that got Marine parents. I think you know why. All right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are truly grateful to be able to